Let's go. Welcome into the Wednesday installment of the Auburn Daily Show. I am Harrison Tarr, joined as I am every Wednesday by Dylan Lark. We got a busy slate of football to talk today. The NFL draft right around the corner. Dylan, I'm pumped up. You ready to get into it, man?
Oh, for sure. Just like the Carolina Panthers are. Let's get into it.
Yeah, Dylan's sitting here panicking that his beloved Carolina Panthers might take Will Levis at number one. We're not going into that right now, Dylan. That's banter for another time off air. Let's jump into it. Let's talk Auburn Tigers that are entering their names into the NFL. Sorry, NBA playoffs tonight. That's where my brain's at right now. Into the NFL draft this year, and guys that we think that we anticipate to be drafted. It starts with the givens, and in that list of givens starts with Derek Hall. We took a look across the board today, Dylan, as most mock drafts are pretty much reaching their conclusion. We looked at Mel Kiper, Matt Miller, and PFF, Pro Football Focus, which is an interesting outlet in my opinion, but neither here nor there. They're super hit and miss in my take. But we took a look at all three of these groupings at where each of these Auburn guys stood. And first things first, we got to talk about Derek Hall and where he may or may not go. We thought coming into this whole process, Derek Hall may sneak into the end of that first round. He still might. It seems more and more likely by the day, and where we're at right now, it seems like he's a confident second round pick. Talk to me about a couple of the fits here, Dylan, and where you think makes the most sense based on the three mock drafts we've looked at today.
Yeah, so I was looking around. We found Matt Miller's mock draft. He did a 7-round, and PFF did a 7-round. And both have them going within three picks of each other, either to the Detroit Lions at round 2, pick 55, or to the Dallas Cowboys at round 2, pick 58. Honestly, I think the better fit would be Detroit. I think they're a team that desperately needs an edge rusher alongside Aiden Hutchinson. And I think that pairing is pretty doggone dangerous, if you ask me. And you go to a team that desperately needs that defense to step up if they want to win their conference, or division, that is. Because that division is now without Aaron Rodgers, who has spent the better part of two decades owning it. And now it's anyone's ball game, and it starts with the Detroit Lions, who were just so close to making the playoffs, and their defense just let them down in a few games. And I think getting Derek Hall in the second round really would help their case.
And if you get drafted to the Lions, if you're Derek Hall, you get the privilege of playing Kirk Cousins a lot, or at least twice a year. And unless, as long as you're not playing him, what was it, prime time? Is that it?
If you play him at 1 p.m. on Sunday, he's Tom Brady level. If you play him
any other time, he's
any other time period, he's like Jamarcus Russell.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect. So yeah, you get to play him twice, and surely those can't both be Sunday 1 o'clock p.m. games. So that being said, Dylan, I'm with you. I like Detroit as opposed to Dallas, but that Dallas defense is kind of fun right now, and I think Derek could find himself in a really good pairing down in Dallas as well. A guy that we certainly think is second round that could see his stock rise as we get closer. We're in that final 48-hour window where things are getting weird, and we're going to hear more about guys rising and falling even more so than we anticipated for the next 48 hours. I think Derek Hall certainly could be a riser after having a little bit of a dip down from where we initially anticipated. We talked about him going number 31 overall to the Chiefs at one point. I don't think uber far-fetched to say that there's a large window that Derek Hall could fall into. Moving forward, let's talk about another guy that a lot of people are interested in where he may fall. Let's talk about Tank Bigsby for just a moment here, because there are, after Derek Hall, it's kind of a crapshoot which Auburn guy is going off the board next. Tank Bigsby will get drafted. Dylan, this is a big window. What are your thoughts based on what we've seen from whether that be Mel Kiper, PFF, etc.? What are your thoughts on the landing spot and likelihood of like a ballpark estimate where Tank Bigsby winds up in the 23 draft?
Hey, you talk about the talent drop off after Derek Hall. I mean, going to Mel Kiper's big board, Derek Hall is the 60th best player in the draft according to Mel Kiper, and then it's a 47 player drop until you get to Colby Wooten, and then after that, it's an 18 point drop until you get to Tank Bigsby at 125. And right now, I think it stands. Tank Bigsby is RB running back number 9. And I think running backs are so volatile in today's league, and they're dying off. They're a dying breed. That star-studded running back is no longer a necessity for a team. I mean, we just watched the Chiefs win the Super Bowl with an undrafted free agent. But according to Matt Miller, they have Tank Bigsby going in the round four, pick 108 to the Denver Broncos. I was about to say reuniting, but he was just a year off from 2 years off from being with Jarrett Stidham, of course. Right. And of course, PFF has him going in round four, pick 110. So another very close difference between those two to the Atlanta Falcons, which is probably a team he'd probably be very fortunate to go to, as probably a Falcons fan, right?
You would think so. And somewhere that certainly he could make a contribution almost immediately in that backfield. I think Tyler Allgeier brings a lot to the table. And I mean, it's a matter of how healthy can Cordarrelle Patterson be, and is he truly going to be the answer this year? But I think there's touches in that Atlanta backfield. All that to say, there's certainly opportunities for him elsewhere. Like we mentioned, Denver, I don't even know if I could tell you who the starting running back is for the Denver Broncos, just to be completely candid.
I believe it's Javonte Williams from North Carolina.
Okay, so yeah, there are lots of touches to go.
I'm more sure of that than I am who's going to be the starting quarterback for the Broncos next season.
Yeah, no, literally, actually. Yeah, there are certainly touches in both of those spots. And Tank Bigsby is one of those guys we discussed on the Auburn Daily, on the College Loop last night, or this morning rather, yesterday. I don't even know what day it is anymore. But on the last installment of the College Loop, the Tank Bigsby could be one of those boomer bust guys, but you don't really have to reach high enough for him to really be a bust. It can be one of those pleasant surprises and one of those guys that could be really awesome for a short period of time, could be a late bloomer, which typically doesn't work out at the running back position, or could be a guy that's kind of like, I don't want to say like a Frank Gore, because he's not, no one's Frank Gore, but in terms of longevity, could be a solid producer over an extended period of time, a James Conner, like something like that. You know what I mean? So we'll see where that pans out for Tank Bigsby. Now, you teased it a little bit, Dylan, about the third topic of discussion, or third young man who's entering his name, Colby Wooden, a guy that I think that a lot of us would not be surprised to go off the board before Tank Bigsby, but also equally as many of us would be like, yeah, no, it makes sense that he went after Tank, because this is where it starts to get hairy. Talk to me a little bit about his potential landing spots and where you think he's the best fit, Dylan.
Yeah, so Mel Kiper has him as the 107th best player in the draft and defensive tackle number 10. And that's really weird ranking considering where the draft has them going. Matt Miller has him going round four, pick 110 to the Atlanta Falcons. You know, the same pick we just said the PFF has Tank Bigsby going, and PFF has him going round five, pick 141 to the Indianapolis Colts. I think it just shows just how, I guess, I don't want to say wishy-washy, but just how, I'm trying to figure out the word here, disoriented the draft is when it comes to ranking defensive tackles properly, just because every conference is not the SEC, and the SEC produces so many great defensive tackles year in and year out. And you're kind of surprised that Colby Wooden would fall to the fifth round. And I kind of see him as like a third round, early fourth, which is what Matt Miller has, early fourth, I believe. But I'm kind of surprised that he doesn't get talked about nearly enough as most other prospects have been getting.
I'm kind of with you, but also it's one of those things that you forget how many guys are in the NFL draft and how much talent there is and how many guys were risers in their pro days and in the combine. It kind of just, it happens. And this is another one of those situations where if you told me he was going to go 20 spots higher than where most boards have him right now, I'd look and be like, yeah, okay. And you could tell me they'd go a full round later and I would be like, yeah, no, that makes sense too. Like it's such a weird dynamic, but also I'm not directly going against the flow of what you're saying here, Dylan. I do agree that this could be a great later round acquisition for an organization that's probably right there and just needs depth. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that.
I think that this could be like a great pickup, like late round pickup for like the New York Jets, for an organization like the Cincinnati Bengals, one of those teams that we're expecting to have a high ceiling in 2023. I'll go. You're looking at me weird. I've got high expectations for the New York Jets at this point. I think all they needed was a quarterback and hello Aaron Rodgers, but all this to say, I think that one of those teams that's on the cusp or even already there, the Kansas City Chiefs, could benefit from this kind of depth and letting Colby Wooden grow. Before we move forward and keep talking more about Auburn draft prospects, Dylan, I want to take a moment and tell all everybody back home listening, all of our wonderful listeners, about our friends over at Prize Picks. This season, Auburn Daily has partnered with Prize Picks to bring some fun and variety to the picks in 2023. Prize Picks is a free app that allows you to choose any 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 players from any sport in your wagers. It's my favorite part of the whole deal. Predict the over-under for the next game and win big prizes if they do well. Part of the Prize Picks offers that saves me every time is that they have flex options where you can still get paid on winning only 3 of 5 or 2 of 3. That's really good for a bad gambler such as myself. You can have multiple sports in the same parlay. Best of all, use promo code Auburn to receive double your first deposit up to $100. That's promo code Auburn, A-U-B-U-R-N, for double your first deposit up to $100. This used to be college basketball season when we first brought it on. Now we've got MLB season right now. NBA's in full swing. My Rangers are going to win the series in 6, so I'm going to use Prize Picks to bet on the Rangers. Dylan, yeah, you win some money with Prize Picks and the Auburn Daily using promo code Auburn. That's A-U-B-U-R-N. Bringing it right back, Dylan. Let's talk Owen Papo.
Oh, yeah.
The floor is yours, Mr. Lark. Talk to us. And now, this is a guy that I think we have a reasonably good window on where OOP could wind up. Would not surprise me if he jumped up a little bit, but still. Talk to me a little bit about where he's at, where you think is the best fit, and what you do and do not agree with.
Yeah, Owen Papo, I believe, is the 4th best player out of 4 players who could get drafted and out of the Auburn players within the portal, or the pool, not portal. Pool. Sorry, portal on the brain. Owen Papo is currently ranked as inside linebacker number 10 from Mel Kiper, and ESPN has him going round 5, so does PFF as well for round 5. Both, again, 2 picks within each other. San Fran picking him up in round 5, 164 per ESPN. And the PFF, I'm going round 5, pick 162 to the Indianapolis Colts, which per PFF, that would have him reuniting with Colby Wooten. So that'd be interesting to watch. And I think it'd be really interesting to see Owen Papo rep that red and gold and join a pretty freaking stout San Francisco 49er defense and joining my old running back Christian McCaffrey as well.
Owen, I think I'm with you. If I have to pick between the San Francisco 49ers and the Indianapolis Colts, no offense to our listeners who are Colts fans out there, I hope to the Lord above that Owen Papo can go to the San Francisco 49ers. I would not want him anywhere near that Colts organization right now. It is a dumpster fire. But San Francisco is an interesting one, man, because I love that defensive scheme. I really do. And the pieces are there that Owen, and we've talked to a lot of people around the program and that have played with him. He's by all accounts, just he loves learning about football. That's an opportunity to go learn how to play the professional game the right way on a team that's contending right now. And find yourself in a rotation. I've said it a million times. If I've said it once, I think Owen Papo could wind up being the steal of the NFL draft this year. He really could wind up being one of those guys. And is that a homer pick? Sure. Do I care? No. All that to say, I'll be very interested to see if Owen Papo is a 5th-round selection. I don't know that there's not a team that may reach for him late 4th. I'm not entirely ruling that out. You're giving me some weird looks, Dylan.
Oh, no, sorry. Something like flashed across my screen. Yeah, I completely agree. And the talent and the potential that is withheld with a guy who, you know, his nickname, the Freak, OP. Right. And he's just a footballer. He's just a football guy. Big football guy over there. Oh, Papo.
Dude just loves football.
But watching him play, yeah, we talk about all the time. He was underutilized at Auburn big time. A player like Owen Papo's stature should have been used way more than he should have. I mean, even throw him in an offense sometimes. You can't tell me he doesn't have the hands for it to play wide receiver for the Tigers. But when I see him right next to Fred Warner in that San Fran defense, with his speed, I mean, it'd be hard to keep him off the field. And 100%. And it brings a next level potential to a defense that you didn't think could get any better, really. Because if you get him under that scheme for even a spring or summer, I think he's going to be right there at probably second team just because, dude, he can run a 4.32 40 at a linebacker. And I mean, at that point, San Fran is just one non-average quarterback away from actually winning another Super Bowl.
They've got one. His name's Brock Purdy. We're not going there. But I'm a Brock Purdy truther. All that to say, Before we round things out and get out of here, Dylan, I do want to touch base really quick about a couple of guys that may more than likely go UDFAs, namely Ekwu Liotta. I'll just kind of touch on that briefly, and then I've got a question for you real quick. I don't think Ekwu goes in this draft. If it is, it will be ultra late, and that's a shame, because I think Ekwu Liotta is going to be one of those opportunities to go grab one of those UDFAs that people don't know about and that people didn't really get to see the film on. And that guy can play professional football, right?
Oh yeah, for sure. And for one thing, I wish you could do the same thing in the NBA draft that you can do that, or do the same thing that you can do in the NBA draft, where you can return with your collegiate eligibility.
Right.
Because you know who I would love to bring back for another year?
Ekwu Liotta.
Ekwu Liotta.
Yeah.
all these guys really, but of the top ones that aren't going to get drafted, Ekwu Liotta would be my first pick back.
Absolutely.
It sucks, but he's going to get picked up no matter what. He's going to be an NFL player. And whoever gets him is going to love him.
Couldn't agree more, Dylan. And before, like I said, before we get out of here, my last question to you was, we spoke about this a little bit on the College Loop on the Tuesday installment of the show, but if there's a guy in this Auburn roster, or excuse me, in this Auburn draft pool, rather, excuse me, that you don't expect to get drafted, not named Ekwu Liotta, because I'm with you on the same page there, that you think could actually at least play in a preseason game this fall at the NFL level, and that you think could earn a chance on an NFL roster, who is it and why?
I'm going to steal my answer. John Samuel Schenker. He's a top. The pro day in and of itself impressed me beyond words. And I can say the same thing about Shedrick Jackson, but I'm going to stick with my guns here with Schenker, just because it's a tight end-oriented league now. The running backs are kind of falling off, but the tight ends are stronger than ever. And I think if the right team gets the fastest tight end in the draft, mind you, the fastest tight end in the draft this season, I think someone could do something really special with Schenk. He's already a NFL level blocker, and if you can just fix the route running just a little bit, get him just where he's not so slow in the feet. His hands are reliable enough; he'll catch a pass. And I think a team was going to be very lucky. Same thing with Ekwu Liotta. A team is going to be very lucky to pick up John Samuel Schenker.
I don't disagree at all. I think that he will. I feel confident and comfortable saying that he will be on an NFL preseason roster at the bare minimum. I think he will earn a chance. Another honorable mention. I don't want to spend much time on it because I know we're going to get out of here in a second. But Shedrick Jackson, someone's going to take a look and think they can fix him. And I'm not saying that Shed's broke. That's really not what I'm saying. Some NFL scout's going to look at what he did on pro day, and what his frame offers, what kind of speed he brings to the table. And look and say, this guy played SEC football, played against SEC defenses. I can fix him. I can make him an NFL rotational piece wide receiver. And I don't know that that's untrue. I think Shedrick Jackson, and if there's a player not named Ekwu Liotta or John Samuel Schenker, I think it's Shedrick Jackson. That being said, Dylan, thanks for hanging out with me right here on the Wednesday installment of the Auburn Daily Show. Let everybody know where they can find you, support you, love you, listen to more of your work, read more of your work, all that fun stuff.
Oh, if you're watching, my Twitter handle is just right there. It's at your boy the tank. And if you're listening, it's at YABOY the tank. Also, catch me on the Monday installment of the Auburn Daily Show. Go check my last episode where I gave y'all a little update on the transfer portal and what's going on in and around Auburn football and basketball. And also catch me on the College Loop podcast every Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday, where we just do the same thing we do right now, but three times a week instead of two. And three times together instead of just one time together. So,
and then a little bit more detail.
And a little bit more detail, maybe.
Dylan, always good to talk ball with you. Can't wait to do it again tomorrow. Same place, same time for frames and everything. I'm Harrison Tarr at By Harrison Tarr on Twitter. If you want to check out any more of my written work, that's at the Auburn Daily, theauburndaily.com. More of my podcasting work available right where Dylan said on the College Loop every Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday. Sometimes extra days if Auburn decides to pop off and not be normal, which happens more often than it not. But we wouldn't have it any other way. All that to say, I think that's I sat here and had a little mental lapse. I feel like I'm forgetting something. Oh yes, if you feel inclined to watch SoCon baseball, you can catch me on ESPN Plus. Not this weekend, but next weekend, calling Mercer baseball. Thank you guys so much for joining us right here on the Auburn Daily Show, the Wednesday installment. We will see you guys same place, same time tomorrow. I will see you guys again on Friday. A new face on Friday with me, no longer Lindsey Crosby. So you guys buckle up, and we will see you guys.